Hello, listening audience. This is your head nurse, and I will be your micster this evening. Or wait, this is micster. I'll be your head nurse this evening, or however you want to put that. Welcome to the show. It's time for the Rainbow Asylum on this glorious National Coming Out Day of 2015. I am just so excited to be here, and I'm pretty sure the GIMP is too, but I'll let him speak for himself. GIMP, are you happy to be here?
I am happy to be here. Hello, listening audience. This is your sound GIMP speaking. I got a lot of good music lined up for you to celebrate National Coming Out Day. I got, as I was telling the nurse, I was feeling pretty ragged earlier today. Just finally got home earlier this afternoon. I've been on the road 3 shows, 3 days. But it always just peps me right up on Sunday nights to be doing the asylum. Better than a cup of coffee.
Yay. So, yeah, about that music, what do you have lined up for us?
Well, here in a bit, when we go to the first song, being that it is National Coming Out Day, of course, we've got a lot of songs celebrating that, including one from the band of one of the best guests we ever had on the asylum. And I have one I've especially picked out for you, head nurse.
Oh, goodness gracious, Fiddle Dee Dee. Let me listen to this hit that you've picked out just for me. Really, GIMP, you shouldn't have.
It's no problem. Anything for you.
Is it happening now?
What, you want to just go straight into the first song, then?
Well, yeah. This is a music show, right?
That's true. Well, as I said, it's National Coming Out Day, and I got a lot of songs celebrating, coming out and kicking ass. But this first one is dedicated to the head nurse, and I guarantee you all know it.
Thank you.
I'm afraid to ask, what made you choose that to dedicate it to me?
Well, because I know that, you know, within our divergent musical taste, you tend to prefer something a little bit more poppy, a little bit more glamorous, and being National Coming Out Day, I couldn't resist the Diana Ross track.
So, just making sure this isn't some kind of a subtle age joke, is it, Gimp?
No.
Because, of course, the nurse is just not a day over 41. The nurse is still 40, right? So I'm still clinging to my youth.
Besides, how the hell could that be an age joke, considering I got another song on here that we both love that came from the early 1970s? It's full 10 years older than that Diana Ross track.
Well, all right. I'm just making sure, because I can disco with the best of them, Dolly. So, just put that in your little glitter wand and get where you, the Republican don't shine.
Well, that's cold-blooded, man. And a preview of things to come here tonight on this film.
Yes, we've really upped our literary talents around here. We're now using, what's that? Allusion? No, foreshadowing. Foreshadowing or foretainting. Never mind. I'm just being silly.
Well, we're having any other way, man. You know, this is also a comedy show, so.
Right, and speaking of literary talents, how is that poem going?
Coming along great. I got it just about ready to go. I was able to do a few revisions while I was on the road between gigs. Should be ready to go soon.
So, have you... Because this could take weeks. Have you started licking Debbie Clean yet? Just kidding.
You know, I was going to say, you know, as busy as my schedule is on the road through the end of the month, I unfortunately will not be able to begin the luxurious tongue bathing procedure until after my bookings are finished.
All right, well, just those things are not going to magically fall off of your to-do list.
No, I got them written down.
Yay!
I even remembered to write down what kind of wine she wants.
Ooh!
She wanted a nice, sweet Spanish wine. Which is...
Well, I'm glad you were taking notes.
Always do. Well, let's say we started out the show. You know, this is National Coming Out Day, which, you know, we're all celebrating. It's great. Although, Nurse, can I get serious for just a second?
I guess since you already started.
Well, there you go. You know, I had a friend of mine earlier today online, you know, post a very heartfelt and personal bit, you know, on this day, as most of us have done in one way or another. And, by the way, let this be a lesson. Stay the hell away from any comment section on any article or post or whatever, because chances are you're going to be pissed if it goes on long enough. And some asshole was, you know, griping him on about saying, well, I think it's kind of stupid that y'all have your own day. I just wanted to string a little prick, you know. It's like, do you have any connotation of the risk that a lot of us took? I'm saying.
Is that your whole story?
Well, yeah, like I said, it was just a small bit. I wasn't going to go on, you know, a half-hour-long tirade. It just pissed me off that somebody had the
gall. Let's just summarize. A garden variety hetero is butthurt because there isn't a national coming-out straight day.
Apparently, which I don't know why the hell they
cue the violin.
Or people really want one. And last I checked, you know, nobody gets fired for being straight. Maybe they do.
Well, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make news if they do. Oh, you know what? I think my brain cell just died in the middle of, because you triggered a story that I was going to tell and I already forgot what it was. So if it comes to mind, I will. But speaking of stories, you know what? Your coming out story is still in recent memory, isn't it? Do you want to tell yours?
I've only been out publicly for about 4 years. You know, so it's, yeah, still fairly new. I suppose I can tell it. I'll at least tell a kind of a condensed version of it, you know, because we're only on the air for 90 minutes and we got other bits and other songs to do. But, you know, mine was kind of a interesting situation, I guess. The first person I ever told was my brother. I think it was about 15, maybe 16, you know, and back in those days, you know, my brother and I would, just go out, you know, late night, Waffle House, you know, just drive around and just talk and, you know, all that sort of thing. And he was the first one I ever told him. Yeah, obviously he was cool with it. I mean, shit, he's gay. And I didn't really tell a whole lot of people for the next 7 years. You know, at the time, you know, I was employed as a camp counselor, working for the Boy Scouts of America. And the BSA didn't exactly like people like me, you dig what I'm saying? You know, they've only recently, like very recently, changed their membership policy. They just changed it like 2 months ago. So, you know, I basically stayed in a closet, you know, to protect my job, you know. I mean, being a counselor was something I loved. Still love it. Still miss it. And, you know, I stayed in for that reason. Unfortunately, granted, you know, amongst a lot of my college friends, you know, and all that. I mean, it was kind of an open secret. Everybody knew, you know, nobody talked about it. But, you know, 8 years, you know, it's open secret, still a secret, you know, and it tends to kind of grate on you, and I dealt with it same way I deal, at least at that time, same way I dealt with any other stressful point, particularly one that had been building to a boiling point at that time. I drank, you know, and I know, you know, on the show, you know, we often joke about my, you know, boozing, and, you know, there's been a couple shows where I've been a little tipsy and a little silly. But, you know, back then, I mean, it really did become a problem. You know, I was going out, so when I still lived in Terre Haute, I was going out, and just about every night, every other night, you know, I'd go out to the bar, wherever bar was closest, wherever bar was cheapest, 6, 7, 8, 9 draft beers, a few pitchers, go back up to my room, start drinking, you know, Everclear, you know, 190 proof straight grain alcohol, and Thunderbird wine. I mean, you know, because I didn't want to deal with reality. And my buddies were the ones that pretty much shoved me out of the closet. In a manner of speaking, you know, I got the whole intervention thing. Anybody who's ever had any struggles with any substance, be it, you know, liquor or drugs or what, you know, whatever you have it, you know, when it gets to a certain point, you know, your buddies kind of step in, and they did. You know, they basically cornered me, and they said, you're coming out, because we know that's the main thing bothering you. There were some other things, but, you know, that was the story. You know, we know that's what's bothering you. You're coming out because, frankly, dude, we're not going to sit here and watch you try to fucking kill yourself. And at that point, that's what I was doing. So I did. It was, you know, taking that big step was hard. You know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, of course, anytime you know, when you first come out, you really never know what to expect. But for the most part, you know, particularly amongst, you know, obviously my friends and, you know, the guys I worked with out at camp, they were all very supportive. They were all very happy for me, you know, particularly the ones that saw what I was doing to myself, you know, to avoid dealing with it. So You know, it was. You know, has there been some backlash? Certainly, you know, they're certainly deepened divisions I have with family members. But for the most part, it was a very good experience and had a lot of support. You know, glad I did it. If I hadn't done it, who the hell knows? I might have died on the floor of that room because, you know, when you
right.
talk like that, you know, you kind of, you know, I mean, I was.
You might still
you know,
be
like I said,
drinking heavily.
You know,
we wouldn't want
you know,
that, would we?
You know, fucking death trip, you know, at that point. So, yeah, that's the Reader's Digest condensed version of the story.
Well, that is just heartwarming. That is just heartwarming. So, did you stop drinking heavily? No.
Well, yes. You know, like I say, I don't. You know, I don't drink to a suicidal binge like that anymore. I mean, do I still drink? Yes, but you know, it's under control now. You know, I'm not spending every night getting obliterated because I don't want to deal with reality.
Oh. Like, I'm really struggling not to, like, just begin mercilessly mocking you immediately following your coming or at story. So I'll just applaud. Good for you. Good, good, good. I'm so proud of you for taking your honesty back and just being like, okay, world, I'm bi, whether you like it or not. I'm here. I'm queer. I'm half queer. Oh, just kidding. Sorry. There I go mocking you.
No, it's all right. You know,
No, it's not. It's a cheap shot, and it's beneath us both. You can claim the queer title if you do not drink at night. Yay! Well, you don't need my permission. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I think we're gonna go to a song after that one, and then Nurse, how about yours? How about we hear your story?
All right.
Blue. Let's go to a song first. You know, speaking of coming out, being National Coming Out Day, here's Perennial Rainbow Asylum favorites, Angie Division with Coming Clean.
17 and strung out on confusion.
Hi, caller.
Happy coming out day.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yay.
And you as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Nurse, our caller is Annette. She's with the local Indianapolis PFLAG chapter. And I thought if anybody besides us two assholes would have something important to say about coming out day, it would be... Annette,
a third asshole.
you know, a third asshole. There we go. You know, being that she's heavily involved in the community, you know, both as a supporter and a hellfire activist. So, Annette, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was telling Walter earlier, I saw a video earlier where they asked people to write in their coming out stories or why they don't come out, and people are still afraid to come out. Somebody said something like, I'm afraid to come out. I don't, you know, I see comments people write in the newspaper or on YouTube, and there's just a lot of hate out there still. It's horrible. And I think what's happening is as more and more LGBTQ people are getting their civil rights, a lot of people are getting scared. So they don't know what to do about it. They know they can't do anything about it, really. So they just lash out, and they make no sense. I had some guy, I had to block him on Twitter yesterday because some nasty things he said to me. So, you know, on the one hand, things are really, really good, and on the other hand, there's still a lot of problems.
I think that's definitely an insightful reaction. So I've noticed that there is a certain backlash coming from the people who are losing the culture war. There is kind of like a caged animal effect that's happening from
mm-hmm.
that. And yeah,
I like that term, caged animal, because last week I live in a pretty affluent suburban community called Carmel. We're right north of Indianapolis, and for about 2 months they were trying to get a human rights ordinance passed to include LGBT. And the first hearing, we sat through basically 3 hours of hate talk. And this one woman, most of it was religiously based, and this one woman was actually preaching for about 15 minutes. And then at the end, she said to the council people, if you pass this bill, there'll be blood on your hands. I mean, this was an old lady. You know, it was just hateful. The bill passed, by the way. But,
Yay. You
know, it's like, yeah, but they just don't know what to do. And then they get fed this garbage by the real haters, you know. So it's like a snowball effect.
Hmm.
You weren't at the hearings, were you, Walter? Did you go to... You didn't go to
what?
The hearings, did you?
No, unfortunately,
no.
You know, when the...
No,
I
say fortunately.
you're probably right to say fortunately in that, because if I'd been there and some lady had been, you know, up there saying, there's going to be blood on your hands, I would have been the one to stand up and go, from fucking where?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were all thinking.
I mean,
but... On the other hand, the good news is that the Indiana Historical Society has a huge photo exhibit of LGBT history in Indiana, taken by a local photographer named Mark Lee, and it's going to be at the museum for a few weeks, and it just has a whole photographic history of LGBT people in the state, and it's fabulous. So the community is getting recognized in a positive way.
Do you happen to have a link for that exhibit that you can send us, Annette, so we can put it on our page?
I could find. Yeah, I'll look for it. Yeah, I'll look for it and send it to you, the photographs. And my picture's in it, so that made it more exciting for me. So it's a really cool exhibit. And one part of it, I only came here in 1995, and I didn't really get involved in all this till 2005. But a lot of the pictures on one side of the area are photos Mark took of people who had AIDS, and a lot of his friends, and so, you know, many of them died. But it's a really good, you know, photographic retrospect of what the community went through and how much it's grown and how things have changed here. So, I'll send you the link.
Yeah, so, please do. You know, that way our listeners in Indiana can stop by and check out the exhibit.
Okay.
Yay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure having you on, and thank you again for all the work you're doing in the Indianapolis area with PFLAG and your other queer related endeavors. We
yeah,
really appreciate
we're going.
That.
Actually, one last thing. We're going to Nashville Convention this coming Friday. We're going to Nashville, Tennessee, and my chapter, my Indianapolis PFLAG chapter, is getting an award. PFLAG's mission is support, education, and advocacy. So they give out chapter awards in those three categories, and we're getting the chapter award for advocacy because of the rally that we held at the State House, the anti-RIFRA rally. So that'll be exciting.
Yay! Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So it's going to be a great weekend.
Thank you.
I'm really excited. I'm bringing my cowboy boots, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Yep, so you'll hear more from me when I come back.
Yeah, please. You're always welcome to call in.
Okay, take care. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hey. Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that in my state, you know, the GIMP's home state of Indiana, that some of our local activists will be recognized at PFLAG's National Convention next week. That's
yay!
No,
yes,
I'm
it really.
I'm sorry, Nurse. You were gonna tell your story. I'm sorry.
Well. So I came out in basically the year following my graduation from high school. So I was 18, 19, somewhere in there. And it wasn't really, I didn't make a conscious necessarily decision to come out. It was a gradual kind of embracing of this community that I began to have access to on the college campus. We had this thing called the Electronic Forum, and the internet was new then. It didn't have any pictures on it. It didn't have regular websites. It did have the World Wide Web, but that was actually just one of a variety of protocols you could use to access the web. So they had IRC, they had Gopher, they had Telnet, they had, different, and you would type the word at the command prompt and then you would like browse around. So we also on the campus had like an internal kind of chat, I guess, area where we could interface with one another. And there was an LGBT forum on there. And so that was one of the first ways that I began connecting with other people who were like me. And that was one of the first ways that I began to kind of, you know, sort of peek out from behind the closet door, as it were. And at the same time, I had received a computer for graduation. So it's really expensive to get online in those days. But I got, and you remember, America Online used to spam. They used to cram into every available crevice of the universe their free, like, trial CDs. And so you would get a free trial CD, or I should say I would, and get those free hours to try it out. And I had got on there, and I was chatting with some other people too. And, of course, AOL was a little more advanced. It had actual if you felt like waiting for 10 hours to download a JPEG, you could. Anyway, so I started actually hooking up with people and recording them in a diary that I was writing on my computer. I kept a journal. And what actually kind of catapulted me out of the closet against my will was when my brother was snooping around on that computer and decided to print out the diary, go through it with a highlighter, and take it to the high school football game on a Friday and start passing it around. So I can totally actually relate with tonight's slut on that account. But the way I found out was that my mom confronted me the next morning. She had all these papers and she woke me up. She's like, "What is the meaning of this? What is it?" Like, she was really, really upset. And I'm like, I don't know, now 30 years later, 20, however long it's been, a little over 20 years, I could look back and be like, well, I mean, what did you think? You know, I'm really comfortable now. But at the time, I was devastated. I was like, I wasn't ready for that. And I wouldn't even answer her, because there's really no way to lie when she's like reading your journal. There's no way to like deny that those are my words. But I wasn't really ready to be like, yeah, let's talk about this, you know? So I was just, it was, you know, it was traumatic for me. And then But once I realized that I really had nothing left to lose, I was at that point, I was already out, and I was out to a bunch of people that I didn't consent to being out to. It got easier pretty quick, and like it wasn't long after that, I was, you know, I was just telling anybody who wasn't at that game but was probably going to hear through the grapevine. I just kind of started telling people, and well, after that, it was over. I mean, there wasn't much hiding it. I'm a pretty flamboyant individual. So most people were like, yeah, I knew the whole time. And I'm like, well, you know, I know you all knew because you've been beating me up since junior high. But I wasn't ready for you to know. And now that you know, I'm happy. And I was really relieved. And like many people, I experienced a real sense of exuberance or just exhilaration from the new sense of freedom that I had. It was great. I don't actually regret that it happened. However it happened, it needed to happen, and I'm glad that it did.
Dig, man.
Yay. Yay for having your high school, your journal printed out and passed around a high school football game.
Yeah, shit.
Right.
All right. Well, I think we're going to go to another song, and then we'll see what comes next. I know we're getting around time for Slut, but in the meantime, here's one for all our brothers and sisters flying the trans colors. Here's Against Me with the acoustic rendition of True Trans Soul Rebel.
All dressed up and nowhere to go, walking the streets all alone. Another night to wish that you could forget, making yourself up as you go along. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Does God the gun beside you in bed, follow it through the obvious end. See your veins wide open, you bleed it out. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Does God been gone from here years ago, you should be living a different life. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home? Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home?
Just beautiful.
You know, playing nothing but the best tonight, you know, and every night. Well, every week.
Yay.
Not all, every night. If we were on every night, we'd probably end up killing each other.
Yeah. We would not be on every night. I can barely stand 90 minutes of you as it is.
Love you too, nurse.
Yay! Ah! Well, whatever. I work hard at this, darling. I have earned every...
Well, hold on. We have another caller.
I was going to say every syllable of that slur, but there's only one, so... But, yeah.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
I am made of star stuff, and I will not be destroyed. Stars had to die for me to come into existence, explode into a million little pieces just for me to be. Reconvene, reconstruct, remake existence itself. Create a world able to be inhabited by me. I am no accident. I am made of the very stars themselves. Coming together to create me, I am death and life. Stardust strumming in my organs, pulsing through my blood. I will not be silent. Like Esther Earle, this star will not go out. You can no more silence a star than burn out the sun, because trying will destroy your very existence. My energy will be shooting out upon the loss of me, crumbling back into the earth, floating back into the ether, never ceasing, never ending, only changing. I am made of star stuff. The words of Carl Sagan mark me as beautiful. I am made of star stuff. The universe itself is in my veins. My body is of the cosmos, and my worth is not and will never be up for debate.
Ooh.
Damn. Thank you, super, Poet Bomber. Wow.
Supernova Poet Bombing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What about a fitting piece for tonight's episode? Holy shit.
Wow.
Oof.
Ooh.
Well, nurse, are you ready to get pissed?
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. We're going to talk about girls that we don't like.
Okay, so, you know, a part of me wants to try to be kind of, I suppose, sensitive about the fact that nobody should ever have to be outed, really, against their will. But my question kind of is how against your will is it when you go on Grindr and you post pics of yourself? I guess, you know, and... as we just learned, I was outed kind of against my will, and, you know, it was disturbing for me, you know, but I was hooking up online and then writing a journal about it. Although you could probably think that your journal would be a little bit more private than, oh, I don't know, a Grindr profile, which is public on a public website. So, you know, I don't mean to say he had it coming to him, but when you are a Republican senator who is well known for campaigning for George W. Bush, that's right, the evil one, and opposing gay adoption rights and sexual harassment laws, you would really think that such a person would cover their tracks a little bit more when they are actually posting pics of themselves, spreading out their actual butt cheeks in a picture and actually straining to get a cell phone back there to get just the right angle because of, you know, how attractive spread out butt pics are, especially when they're attached to Republicans. So I don't mean to like revel in this person's, you know, I guess this is a form of a humiliation, and he probably loves it. Secretly, but you know, I'm sure he's going through some emotional distress, and that part I can definitely sympathize with. But overall, dude, you were going on the Senate floor talking about how we didn't deserve to, you know, adopt babies, right? And we all know the right wing rhetoric about how we're perverts and that we're destroying the family, and you know. And then he goes on a Grindr site and takes a picture of his spread out butt. So, you know, which I'm not saying no offense to anybody who proudly spreads their butt, you know, just because they know it's beautiful. But you know, when you drive sexuality underground, then that's how it manifests in secret ways that are considered shameful, Not that there's anything shameful about it, but spread it wide and be proud of it if you're going to, right? There's a lot of dignity in being able to spread your butt without shame, right? But he is not really, you know, the poster boy of doing it without shame, because he had to resign from the Senate. So he's basically completely walking away in disgrace. And, you know, I don't know.
Nurse, did you see his explanation of the photos?
Yes, I did.
I have to admit it was pretty funny. Now, granted, any time any politician gets busted in a sex scandal, you know, they always try to explain to me. You know, we all remember Larry Craig and his whole, well, I have a wide stance, you know, when he got busted by a cop trying to get a head job in an airport bathroom. But I think this one almost takes the cake. This was the guy's official excuse for the photos. And I quote here, you know, I've been losing weight, and as I shed that weight, I've been taking pictures. Now, I know people, you know, who do the whole workout thing and try to get in shape, and, you know, yeah, they take pictures. I've never seen any of my fitness buff friends take pictures of their ass, you know, of their ass spread apart, you know, to show that they're losing weight.
His ass isn't just spread apart. He's on his knees on what looks like, you know, a cheap mattress, holding a cell phone back with his, like, butt humped in the air. I mean, it's just, I mean, we all know what's really going on there. And it isn't a weight loss before and after. And I would just read the rest of the quote, because what he says is, I don't remember taking this particular picture. And I won't even go there on what state of mind you have to be in to take a picture of your ass and not remember doing it. But I'm not going to say I didn't take it. I'd tell you if I remember taking the picture, but I don't. So he remembers that it's because of weight loss, but he doesn't remember taking it. But I'm sure it's just because there's an extra 3 pounds around his butthole that he's just proud of having lost, right?
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, so for all of these reasons, the former senator from Puerto Rico is tonight's slut.
Okay, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. We're going to... Slut of the week is... 2, 3, 4! Slut!
Anthony Weiner! Oh, wait, what?
What? I was going to say,
it's Robert Arango. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say Anthony Weiner already got busted, and he was from New York.
Oh, all right. Sorry, I picked out the wrong name. As I was thinking that, I'm like, oh, how ironic that his name is Weiner. But, yeah, okay, so whatever, Arango, your career is over, so I already forgot who you are. And if I had seen you on Grindr, I would have quickly forgotten who you were, too. Oh, did I just say that? Bye-bye. Your career is over. Bye-bye.
Well, you know, his career may be over in politics, but, you know, maybe him and Larry Craig, you know, all those guys that have been, all those Republicans that have got busted in gay sex scandals, you know, maybe they could go out to Nevada and start the first, you know, legal all-gay brothel.
Right. I mean, their value as porn actors has skyrocketed.
Oh, speaking of that, real quick before we get on to another song, I don't know if you saw this. I thought this was hilarious, but previous slut on this show, the notorious Kim Davis. I don't know if you saw this, Nurse. She is being offered $500,000 to do a interracial lesbian scene in a porn film.
Ew. Ew. I didn't need a visual. I would have paid you $500,000. Of course, I don't have $500,000. But if I did, I would have paid you not to ever have spoken that aloud. Oh, but while we're on the subject of Kim Davis, which should happen as seldom as possible, did you hear that her one gay friend came out and it was like, we aren't really friends. I wouldn't even have lunch with her.
I did see that.
Yeah, you know, funny.
Oh, yeah, and definitely some just desserts, you know, because well, you know how it is, you know, all the conservatives. Now they've only started doing this recently. They didn't used to do this. you know, recently as we've been winning more and more, you know, they're always like, no, I got gay friends. I'm not against gay people. I got gay friends. And they managed to find Kim Davis's one quote-unquote gay friend, and he was just like, yeah, she's a bitch.
Kind of like the Pope did to her last week.
I thought it was bad. I got to admit, I did think it was pretty cool when even Pope Frank was like, fuck you.
So I guess she's not going to be getting that million-dollar book deal.
I hope not. Well, as much fun as it is laughing about these assholes, let's get back to some more music. You know, of course, obviously tonight, you know, the music's all power and liberation and coming out and all that. So here's one for the hard rockers out there. Here's another perennial Rainbow Asylum favorite, Paris the Great and the Faggots of Death with Anthem.
Link in to Facebook. It's like I find out about your show halfway through.
It's great to hear you call in. Second week in a row, shit, you might become a regular fixture here.
Yeah, worse things have happened to people. Or maybe better things have happened. I don't know. I guess it depends which way you want to look at it.
Well, what's on your mind tonight, Rob?
On my mind tonight? Well, I've been immersed in National Coming Out Day, trying to inspire closeted people the world over to fling open the closet doors and emerge into the sunlight. That's been my mission today.
Did you talk anybody into it?
Not that I know of. I think I may have driven a few people back into the closet, but, you know, you win some, you lose some. What can I tell you?
So, you know what we've been doing tonight, and maybe, I don't know if you had something else to talk about. You can talk about that instead, but if not, why don't you tell us your coming out story?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I wrote a coming out story. It's very, very inspirational. The title of my piece is The 9 Things You Never, Ever, Ever, Ever Want to Do When You Come Out. Because my coming out was not pretty at all. I was homophobic. I was drunk. I was hiding. I was everything that was probably the worst thing you could do in terms of both staying in the closet and coming out gracefully. So, it was not pretty. I was in very much in denial and did everything I could before coming out of the closet when I did come out. It was a last resort coming out of the closet. Let me put it that way.
Hmm. So were you glad you did it? Were you like immediately just, did you feel relieved or was it kind of against your will? Was there like an awkward period? Like how did that happen?
Well, what happened was I had been drinking heavily because when I drank, not because, but as a byproduct of drinking heavily, I could keep up my cover. I could play straight. I could, you know, go into a straight bar and look at women and act like I really enjoyed it and do all that stuff, which I did for not only friends of mine, but my friends, my family, so that they could see me being, you know, kind of a lech. And it's like, oh, that Rob, oh, he's looking at the women again, you know, and keep that up. Well, the more I got into alcohol, the less the less cover it was, because I was starting to kind of act on my real nature, and they started catching wind of it. So they asked me, you know, we had this one evening that we all went out, and I had gotten belligerent about something on television, and my father and sister had gone to bed. My mother sat up, you know, obviously she was elected to be the one to ask me the question, and sat down, and of course I was already three, she still went anyway, and she said, yes, she said, have you gone gay? And I said, well, I don't know about the gone part, but yes. And then we went into that for the next few hours, and I had conversations with my mother that I never thought I'd have. You know, because it's really weird when you come out to somebody who doesn't want you to come out. They ask the most obtuse questions about attraction and, you know, impulses and all this sort of stuff that you're kind of like going, you know, you have a sexuality of your own, right? I mean, you know what this is about from some level, right? You know, and I was having to explain things that were, like I said, you know, I really didn't want to have to be explained to my mom. But no, to answer your question, no, I did not feel like this great weight had been lifted or anything else. I walked out. And something had changed because before that point, the worst thing I could imagine was my family finding out. And after they did find out and their reaction wasn't that great, I couldn't have cared less. I walked out no longer giving a you-know-what about it. And that was the beginning. Now, from there, things got a lot better and all that, but my immediate coming out was not glorious. The heavens did not open. The sun did not shine. You know. Parks did not play. It was pretty brutal.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing.
I wonder if nobody's come out from their closet due to my tutelage today.
Well, you know, I think the number of people, I know there are definitely still closeted people, but they're fewer and fewer as the years pass, and that's definitely a good thing.
I think that's true. You know, it's like because the people are, well, first of all, the first question out of my mother's mouth when I told her was, how can you stand to be something that so many people hate? That was the question I got, the first question out of the closet. That's what greeted me.
Wow.
And so sort of on a deep level for me and kind of the life's journey then, I guess that's part of my purpose is to educate the world so that when people like me do come out of the closet, nobody hates us anymore. Or that the hate is not the thing people think about or is not their impulse to do when they meet a gay person.
Yeah, you know, I had some similar. I don't want to launch into it because I just actually got done telling it like a little bit ago. But just briefly, I had a similar experience. I came out in the early 90s, mid 90s, whatever. And yeah, a lot of the reactions I got were negative as well. There was a lot of shock and horror and disgust that I had to navigate, especially with my family members.
Yeah, not to date myself, but when I came out was really before AIDS, so at least I didn't get that thrown in my face at that point. We have come a long way. I mean, in just the coming out stories over the last 20 years, I think is a marked difference. A lot of the kids that come out now and their parents are writing letters and saying, hey, I do, and love you no matter what, and everything else. Those were the very rare stories back when I came out. And so a lot has changed. A lot has changed in terms of it getting better for people coming out now. And obviously there's still a lot of that old world left because we've got a lot of kids at risk who come out and it isn't friendly and, you know, we saw the video of Daniel last year with his family, and, you know, that's a reality for some people still. But, there's a world of help out there beyond that for even people who encounter it, which there wasn't when I came out. You know, there wasn't a community to run to and go, oh, I came out, it was really bad. And people going, oh, well, we love you anyway, and, you know, they're awful, and, you know, there was no affirmation, you know, even in the outer regions of the experience. So it's, we are in a better world.
Well, yeah. We are. And, you know, it amazes me how rapidly things have changed. I mean, you know, last night I had my 10-year high school reunion, and, you know, I can't think of a single one of us, you know, who was queer on one level or another, who came out when we were in high school. You know, we all waited till we left Avon, and, you know, we went to college and found a more supporting atmosphere. And now I see articles where, you know, kids are feeling safe and secure enough to come out in middle school. You know, that amazes me that, you know, how fast things have changed even in that, you know, short 10-year time span.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. In fact, I work with locally, we have an award ceremony every year called the Queer Youth Awards, and it is awarding kids in high school that are doing, you know, things, you know, they're leading their GSAs or doing, you know, different community work. And I get to meet and interview these kids, and I just gush all over them. They think I am some sort of weirdo. But it's the same thing because it's like you are in high school and you are doing this and you blow me away. You blow me away. I just have that self-awareness and to stand up for yourself and to be who you are. And I was so a million miles away from that when I was your age. I'm thoroughly impressed to the depths of my soul of what these kids are doing. And, I mean, the flip side of that is we gave them the space to do that. You know, those of us who came before, we built the bridge that gave them the ability to do that in high school. So, you know, they're to our credit as well, but they of themselves just depressed the heck out of me.
Rob, thank you very much for calling in again. Like I said, might end up being a regular fixture on the show. And thank you for sharing your story, and not only that, but sharing in the nurse and I's optimism on this National Coming Out Day for how quickly things are progressing.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having your show. Have a
Thanks
good
again.
Show. Yeah,
okay. Keep listening. We got a lot of good stuff coming your way. Well, we've just been having some incredible callers this evening, haven't we?
Just incredible.
And speaking of regular fixtures on the show, I do believe it's time to see what Miss Debbie's up to.
It is. My goodness. You want to go to a song real quick while I get her number ready?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do a song real quick, and then we'll see what's on Miss Debbie's mind. Here's one from one of the original queer queens of rock and roll. Here's Joan Jett and the Blackhearts with Androgynous.
Let's see what Debbie's doing.
All right.
We don't have Debbie. We have access to Debbie. Although I'm looking at her little thing, and it says she hasn't been online in 3 hours, so we'll see if she's actually available.
Let's try.
The ringing of the phone is part of the drama, so we just kind of, we can't dial her up until the dialing of the phone can be heard. Oh my gosh, I'm just on the edge of the seat. Will she answer?
Hello?
Hey, Debbie. Debbie, darling.
Darling.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, otherwise, the fabulous Miss Debbie Demure.
Hello, darling. How are y'all this evening?
Oh, fabulous as always.
It has been a wonderful show tonight so far.
Awesome. That is very wonderful. My computer, unfortunately, because of all the lovely rain that has been provided by us, by the rain gods, I have no internet. So, Miss Debbie's a little bit flying blind, but then again, when hasn't she?
Well, you know what we've been talking about tonight is we've been telling our coming out stories.
Oh!
You know, yeah,
you know,
it's National Coming Out Day.
Well, Miss Debbie was in college. Of course, Miss Debbie already knew, right? But when Miss Debbie was in college, down in the heart of Texas, slightly a couple of years after Miss Debbie's debutante ball, of course, which would be the normal coming out, right? But that's not when Miss Debbie chose. She was in, I believe it was the spring, and it was during finals because she was in college. And her mother continuously called her. Miss Debbie's mother is a short little spitfire, but loves a dirty joke. And she would call Miss Debbie at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell her a joke when she was just got home from getting off of work. Well, Miss Debbie called her, and this is how Miss Debbie came out to her mother. She called and she said, "Mom, I think my roommate's gay." And Miss Debbie's mother said, "Really? How do you know?" And Miss Debbie said, "Well, his dick tastes like shit."
And how did your mother react?
She hung up the phone and didn't call Miss Debbie for 3 weeks. And Miss Debbie was quite pleased with that because she had time to spend on her finals.
Wow.
Now Miss Debbie had already told her grandmother, because her grandmother said, "Why are you going to the gay bar?" And Miss Debbie said, "Because they have the best music and the boys buy me drinks." Why not go, right? And my grandmother said, "Well, everybody will think you're gay." And I said, "And?" She goes, "Well, it's not so much that. What if somebody sees you there?" And I go, "Grandmama, if they see me there, they're likely a post smoker too." So my sister was actually the most wonderful of all of them, because my sister actually would just, you know, she would go to the gay bar with me, and I actually had my sister was dating a stripper at the time, and he decided to strip for me, and one thing led to another, and, you know, Miss Debbie had to teach him a thing or two. Miss Debbie did have a great aunt that in the middle of cards, playing pinochle, of course, Miss Debbie's great aunt Ruby said, "Well, Miss Debbie's got to get sex from somewhere, whether it's a man or a woman, she's got to have her fun." Debbie didn't have a horrible coming out like some other people. I mean, it was very... Well, Miss Debbie has always been Miss Debbie, right? Miss Debbie was never trying to act butch and, you know, playing sports. And Miss Debbie just did whatever Miss Debbie wanted to do. And so, I mean, it was basically, this is what you get and this is who it is. It really didn't matter anything about, you know, what was going on down south, I guess.
Well, that's heartwarming. That is just heartwarming.
I'm assuming that the sound gimps involved a bottle of whiskey and a pack of Luckies.
My coming out story, well, more than just a bottle.
No,
okay.
It involves some Cub Scouts.
I'm assuming that the head nurse was basically I don't know, maybe a casting couch?
A casting couch.
And a crudité because she didn't learn about Doritos till later.
Before it was over, it involved a psychiatrist couch. I'll put it that way.
Well, honey, almost every person has involved a psychiatrist couch to some degree. I mean, I just went to the psychiatrist not because I was crazy or needed help, but because it was actually legal prescription drugs.
Well, you got.
Well, not for me. I sold them, of course.
Of course, darling.
Now, Miss Debbie was probably more notorious in her days of making sure that, you know, having a Texas Ranger being strung along, a judge, a sheriff, deputy, because, you know, I shot the sheriff, but I fucked the deputy. And, of course, the son of a preacher man. But, you know, songs had to be written about Miss Debbie.
Gimp, what do you think about all this?
Debbie is just Debbie, and we love her anyway.
Well, I mean, the summer of love. I mean, the poor dog just yawned at me. Can you believe that?
Oh.
The summer of love, I mean, that's the summer that Miss Debbie taught everybody everything there was to know about free love and sex. And it is what it is.
So were you actually around during the Summer of Love? I didn't know you were that old.
Oh.
Well, Miss Debbie was a lady in waiting, but I won't tell you for which queen.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, sort of like, you know, me and Miss Debbie and Shirley MacLaine go way back. We've had... So sometimes me and her don't really remember if that's the present life we had or a past life.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
but this summer of love, I mean, yes, I was around. It wasn't that long ago, honey.
I mean, because the Gimp was making elderly jokes about the nurse, and the nurse
was
born
not.
In 75. Yes, you were. You totally played a disco tune and dedicated it to me for coming out day. As if to imply that I had come out during the disco era. And that is not the case.
Oh.
I came out during 90s alternative rock era. So
these
you could have played...
false and libelous accusations.
What song would you...
What song? I would probably...
alternative.
It would have had to be... Well, it's kind of funny. I heard the other day... There's a Nirvana song where he goes, I think it's All Apologies, and he goes, everyone is gay in the song. And that was considered like some radical breakthrough because in the days of the hair bands, it was still considered uncool for a rock artist to be gay positive. And Kurt Cobain came out saying he, of course, was not gay, but he made statements like, I wish I was gay because it would piss everyone off. And he turned it into like a sort of a punk side of his identity to be gay positive, and it was part of his art. So that was a might be one example
for Miss Debbie.
No, for you it would probably be like Charlie Chaplin or something.
Charlie Chaplin wasn't a singer, darling. Trust me, I know.
He was silent.
Trust me.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure you don't go back any farther than the 40s.
Charlie Chaplin was a little clumsy, I'll put it that way. But, I mean, he was quite thorough, but he was clumsy.
Wow. So, did you guys pioneer the silent porn industry?
No, that would be Edison.
Mm.
But I knew, me and Edison's mother were quite close.
Is she a Southern Belle like you?
No, she's actually she's kind of a Yankee, but she was very wonderful with her rose garden. And she was, late in life, she's the one that introduced me to Eleanor. And it was very difficult because all Eleanor wanted to do was just put her mouth on you anywhere and everywhere.
Wow.
And you had to refrain her because she wanted to do it. I mean, she was not discreet. And I was like, you're the first lady of this nation. But, you know.
Well, Debbie, it's always great and fabulous to hear from
you. It's always great to be on the show. I would think that something that might could be said, if you wanted to have a Motard Award, you would have to give it to the Republican legislators that are in the House, in the U.S. House right now, of just not being able to get their shit together. Miss Debbie's like, look, you're all about warmongering and hate. How hard can it be?
True Texas wisdom from the Queen of the Lone Star State.
That is correct. I'm everybody's yellow rose, baby.
We love you, Debbie. We'll see you next week.
I love y'all too. Toodles.
Toodles.
Always wonderful to hear from Miss Demure, and we are ticking down
always
to about the last 10 minutes of the show, and as everybody knows, that's Gimp's last call. And as usual, we're going to end it on a mellow note, but we're still going to keep up with the theme of the show, featuring the very talented Patrick Haggerty, who we had on the show a few months ago, a fantastic gentleman and a wonderful guest. Here's Lavender Country with Come Out Singing.
I'm glad I'm gay. Can't repress my happiness ever since I tried your way. Gonna lay right here and greet the sun, 'cause gay time loving's just begun. So come on, let's tumble in the hay. Do-do-do, do-do-do, oh do-do-do. Morning time, feel so fine when I'm hanging out with you. Sun is up, I'm flinging out the night of doubt. I'm bringing about the night to come out singing do-do-do. Dancing rays, prancing in a glancing orange and red. Drip the dawn, trickling on the corners of our bed. Full of your flirting fingers, your body odor lingers in my toes and in my nose and in my head. So do-do-do, do-do-do, oh do-do-do. Morning time feels so fine when I'm hanging out with you. Sun is up, I'm singing out, the night is out. Bring in back the light, we come out singing, do-do-do. My belly turns to jelly like some lily all Chanel. Your tickling beard has got me geared for a nice long day with you. I don't feel like no rising rooster, 'cause I found a new excuse for sleeping in.
Another caller on the line?
Oh, do we? Hello?
No, it's probably just Miss Debbie listening to the song since she doesn't have internet.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I love Patrick.
Well, how are you?
Sorry. I accidentally put Debbie on hold again. Debbie, would you like to join me in tonight's final rant? Oh, she's hung up. All right. So, I don't know if 5 minutes is long enough to go into the minutia of this. But I'm just going to say, actually, I'm not going to drag dirty laundry out into the air. I'm just going to kind of make this a general rant about humans and power struggles and how people will do anything, like literally anything, with absolutely no shame, as they bite and scratch and claw their way towards whatever it is that their goal that they think is so important. We are having kind of an internal squabble with, well, I shouldn't say we, I mean, it's none of really any of our businesses, but somehow it has erupted into this big giant thing where the affiliate of the state of Oregon, well, basically, here's what it is. The state party in Oregon had this big giant, like, falling out. And so there's this huge, like, debate over which of the factions is actually the recognized affiliate, according to the state of Oregon, which is, like, the Secretary of State controls who gets recognized there. So it isn't like we chose to be submitted to the state. And so then the other faction is accusing the first faction of being statist, because how can the state decide which one of us is the legitimate – the state doesn't confer legitimacy and blah, 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 blah. So they appeal to the national party, which should have never put out a ruling in the first place. We have a judicial committee for that purpose, but according to the bylaws, it's not supposed to involve itself in state level and below, right? Because decentralization was a principle of ours. But two LNCs ago, they did. And that drama is still unfolding today. There's a big legal battle unfolding. The entire process has become politicized. And I won't even go into... Well, just briefly. So what's going on is that, like I said, it has become politicized because one of the factions is a little bit more of like what you would think of as like a corporate or a conservative kind of element, like these Republicans that we have to like fight and scratch and claw our ways to get rid of, right? The ones who are always trying to jump on our bumper and claim they speak for liberty. And then the other faction is like more like a traditional libertarian, which would be a little bit more in the radical camp, kind of more like the people you hear on this show, right? A little bit more of a grassroots flavor. And it's gotten ugly, and it's been kind of simmering under the surface lately. So that's tonight's rant.
All right. Well, what a way to end it. And we are ticking down to about the last minute here on the air. As usual, as the nurse wraps up her final rantings. But listen, it's been a great episode tonight. Thank you to Annette and Rob for calling in. Thanks to Matt Portbomber, and thanks to the lovely and fabulous Miss Debbie DeMure. Until next time, I've been your loyal sound gimp.
And I'm the mistress of deep thoughts and cheap shots and the queen of all media, head nurse Mikester.
Happy National Coming Out Day, everybody, and we'll see you next time with another episode.
Ladies, 2, 3, 4. I'm on TV and you're not. Drop dead.